At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got you covered with comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting, confident looks you can count on. For over a decade, Mack Weldon has designed timeless, innovative menswear to help you move through the day with confidence. With the new Ace line, looking effortlessly sophisticated this fall is easy and comfortable. Stock up on crazy cozy sweatpants, shorts, and sweatshirts that elevate your style. They even have blazers, if you're lucky enough to grab one while they're in stock. Mack Weldon balances classic pieces with updated details to keep you looking sharp. Not flashy, just classic, always in style, and made with the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace Collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code MACK25.
Hannah Murray on TRE in the afternoon.
Joining us on the line now is Gemma Telford and her 21-year-old trans son, Leo. Together, they have written Between, a memoir on gender transition by a mother and her trans son. The lives of transgender people have evolved into a talking point in wider society. Many people have an opinion on trans issues, but few have informed that opinion by actually listening to the trans community. This book beautifully illustrates the issues, pain, struggle, and joy for trans people and their parents. Welcome to the show, Gemma and Leo. Hi.
Hi there.
Hi. Thanks, Hannah.
Thanks both of you for joining us. It's great to chat with you on this subject. I'm really excited to chat to you both and learn more about this, because it's very true what I said in the introduction. So many people have quite strong opinions on this subject, not necessarily nice opinions either, that aren't based on anyone they've ever met.
Indeed, yes.
Yeah. So do you feel, Leo, if I can start with you, do you feel kind of brave doing this book and sharing your story, or did it just feel like a natural thing that you wanted to do?
I think that people often say like it's a brave thing to do, and I understand where they're coming from. I think it's a vulnerable position to put yourself in, not only because I'm sharing such intimate details of my life and such an important aspect of it with, you know, people, strangers, but also because, yeah, this is a topic that I think so many people need and want to be better educated on. And I suppose taking on that role is quite a big responsibility. But at the same time, it did feel natural because I've done sort of public speaking roles and stuff about my experiences before, and I found it very rewarding. So I think that when we first sort of discussed the idea of sharing our experiences, it just really came from a place of wanting to help educate people and to share our experiences. Yeah.
Yeah. Brilliant. And first of all, then, I think it would be great if you could just explain what it means to be transgender, because there still seems to be so much confusion with people, the differences between gender and sexuality, and some people don't even understand the term. So if you could explain that, first of all, that would be great.
Yeah, sure. So someone that's transgender, all it means is they identify, feel differently to the sex they're assigned at birth. So for me, I'm a transgender man assigned female at birth. And then, you know, came out and now live as a man and have done for about a decade now. And yeah, the difference between sexuality, you're right, Hannah, is definitely something that people sort of aren't sure of. But of course, my transness is a part of my gender. It's the way I express my gender. I live as a man, and that's separate to my sexuality, which is, you know, who I'm attracted to.
Yeah. And the issue of trans children has been, dare I say, a controversial one that we've talked about a lot more recently, with many people not understanding how children can know that they genuinely feel like they were born in the wrong body, and the worry that if they start to go through the transition before the age of 18, that they might change their mind. What would you say to that? And particularly talking about your own experiences of it.
Yeah, I think you're right. And sort of protecting children and, yeah, child protection is definitely an idea that people sort of claim to hold in high esteem. But I think that the confusion comes from people not understanding what the process of realizing you're trans, or, you know, like your phrasing, you're born in the wrong body, really entails. And for me, it wasn't, I came across these words and then I realized that I align with them. It was actually that from a very young age, I expressed in ways I don't even remember that this idea of being a girl, being female, didn't fit in with me. When I was very, very young, and because this is, you know, at that age, the only way I could, I would express that I wanted to go by a male name. I was very much what you'd consider a tomboy, wanted short hair, wanted boys' clothes, and would wanted to align myself in any way I could with being male. And I think that something else that means people are aware or anxious about the idea of trans children as this, like, topic is, yeah, the regret element. And I think the way that trans issues are discussed in media now, especially in the very negative, the very negative and divisive light, is that people don't understand how small transition regret is in general, and also how small the trans population is. Less than 0.5% of the world population is trans, and the regret rates are incredibly low, again, under 1%. And then if we look at things like divorce or sterilization or whatever, those regret rates are really high, but that's not something we're causing a moral panic about. And I think that's something that I think people don't often consider when looking into trans discussions.
I suppose, but because it's talked about so much now, isn't it? Which is a really good thing, that it's important for us to understand it more, which is why your book and this conversation is really important. But the fact that it's such a low part of the population, It's fascinating how it seems like it's a much bigger part of the population because of the discussion and the change in things like gender neutral toilets, the massive controversy that there constantly is around sport and how transgender people can possibly play sport, how in competitive sport, I mean, how because where they're supposed to play. And I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think generally, I think that it's a moral panic, and I think that's what people don't realise, that we've seen this happen with the gay community in the 80s, you know, especially amidst HIV crisis and before there was equal marriage rights. And I think people don't realise divisive conversations are manufactured and propagated as a political tactic, not to get too political, but also I can only speak on my own experiences, and that's exactly why we wanted to share the book, because all this discussion takes the humanness out of trans people and our experiences, and the conversations or articles you might read in the media aren't there to genuinely share a trans experience and a story. So we wanted our book to humanize, you know, put reality back into the conversation. This is an example of what some trans people go through, and then this is what matters, and this is how you can better understand and support these people.
Yeah, for sure. Gemma, if I can ask you, I noticed Leo said the expression tomboy that he felt when he was growing up as a girl, that he was a tomboy, you know, wanting to be in girls' clothes in boys' clothes and things like that. And that is something that, again, that people have shared concerns about. I mean, I was a tomboy for a while when I was growing up as well. How are you able to understand as a parent whether your child is just kind of going through a phase or actually seriously wanting to transition?
No, it's a great question, Hannah, thanks. And yeah, I also grew up in the 70s, so I was definitely a tomboy as well. And I've written a bit in the book about that specifically, because I think when I was a kid and I thought it would be cool to be a boy, I didn't feel like a boy. I was a girl and wanted to do the stuff that boys could do that I couldn't do, basically. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to dress in frilly girls' clothes. And it being the 70s, I had some fantastic outfit combinations because my mum used to let me get dressed on my own. But I think the thing for me was, obviously, when Leo came out, as he said, it was 10 years ago and he was 11, and the trans issues weren't really in the press then. I hadn't come across the term transgender. I didn't know what it meant. And, you know, a lot of the book talks about the difficulty that I had and that Leo's dad had in accepting that this was Leo. And it was really, really tough. And as Leo mentioned, it's not something that he felt he ever had a choice about. He felt like he was a boy. And as soon as he realised that he wasn't a boy, he basically got unhappier and unhappier. And I think when you start to see your child who, you know, as a little kid is running around laughing and playing and then hitting puberty and being absolutely desolate that their body is betraying them in a way that they can't deal with, that was the time where we went to get some help. You know, we went, spoke to the GP. We had a lot of support from them. You know, we went to family counselling. We went to the Tavistock Clinic. We had to wait nearly a year to get seen by people. And it was a massively hard and difficult process that took years to go through. And again, I think a lot of the stuff that you see in the press kind of makes it seem like it's a confused kid going, oh, I might be trans. Okay, I want to change my name and, you know, all this stuff. And it's really nothing like that. So it sort of became obvious through a hard and difficult process for us.
Yeah. And Leo, when you and your mum used the expression came out, I mean, I personally have only heard that expression in terms of like coming out as being gay. Are you talking about coming out as trans and saying that you want to transition? Is that what you mean by that? And is that what you did at the age of 11?
Well, yeah. So yeah, generally coming out in reference to being a queer person, whether that's regarding sexuality or, yeah, someone being trans. Yeah, when I came out, I didn't even realise physical transition was something that could happen, something that was happened, something that would ever I'd ever be able to access. But what I said to my parents at that age when I came out was, I don't know how to put this into words to you, but I feel like a boy. There is something that makes me feel as if I couldn't live as a girl, grow up as a woman. But, you know, I was young. I didn't have the terminology that people have now. And I could only express it in such limited ways that it was something I could only phrase better and put across the older I got, you know.
And how was it for you going through that period of adolescence and puberty and, you know, with friends at school? Were you able to share this with any of your peers?
Yeah, I think to a degree, being in a secondary school, a British secondary school, things spread, you know, kids are kids. My close friends knew, but also going through eventually what's referred to as a social transition. So having my name changed on registers, you know, stuff like that is something that obviously people are going to notice. That's something that's happening in the public sphere in my, you know, my school life. So, you know, basically everyone knew. And that meant that, as it often is for trans people, an element of privacy is stripped from you and it's kind of beyond your control. But before accessing medical intervention, first irreversibly at 16 when I started testosterone treatment, it's incredibly difficult because there's, you know, there's people having body dysmorphia and, you know, disliking parts of your body, being uncomfortable, but genuinely living in a body you cannot align with is totally alienating, and it's such an odd thing to explain to people who aren't trans. But if you could try and put yourself in the head of someone like that, you feel, Hannah, as if you're a woman but you're looking at the body of a man in the mirror. It's can be horrific to deal with. But as I got older and I was able to access medical intervention and I had space in the Tavistock Clinic to think and discuss about all these things relating to my future, and as I got older, I've grown into such a confident, stable, happy person. And I think that, as my mom said, I'm so different from the inward, you know, very depressed child that I was. And I think that in itself is proof that when people are able to take the steps they feel they need to take, how it's so fulfilling and genuinely, you know, leads to a better quality of life.
Oh, absolutely. That's a great thing. So how old were you when you changed your name and started coming to school then dressed as a boy?
Well, I think the other thing is that it's perhaps a misconception. It didn't go from girl to boy in the eyes of anyone. All my friends, like I said, from a young age, presented as masculine as I could. I had short hair, and that just got shorter the older I was. But yeah, I was always in, you know, school uniform, trousers, shirt kind of thing. So it was never like, oh, Leo looks totally different. That wasn't ever how it happened. But like I said, I started testosterone at 16 and we changed my name, I think. God, this is a thing, just right. Over a decade ago we're talking, but yeah. I think I was 15, 16 when we changed my name by deed poll. And that was after, like we said, process of very difficult time in the family with everyone having to come to terms with sort of what was going on.
Mm. And did you have any backlash at school? I mean, did everyone just accept it and were like, oh yeah, no big deal, you know, we knew this was happening and it was just absolutely fine, or did you suffer at all at school?
I think that kids are accepting generally, but when you get to sort of teenage age, that's not so much the case. And I had very, very supportive close friends and everything. And there would be generally people that knew that I was trans, but didn't treat me any differently or whatnot. But yeah, there were just definitely backlash. You get kids that are just idiots and want to, you know, put people down and try to find the best ways of doing that. But I was lucky that I had a significantly more positive experience than many. You know, trans people in multiple walks of life face rejection and worse, violence, harassment. So I've been incredibly lucky that I've been in a relatively safe and supportive like network for a lot of my life.
Oh, that's great. And what about with family then, if that's okay to ask? I mean, particularly older family members, people who are less likely, I guess, to understand this issue and have come into contact with other trans people before. Were there people in the family that just didn't get it and found it hard to come to terms with?
Mum, do you want to answer that one, seeing as you told your parents?
my mum and dad live in Spain, Hannah, and I know they're listening, so hello to them.
Oh, hello to them.
I think actually everyone took it incredibly well. I think, you know, there was some confusion, you know, because everyone thought I'd got a daughter and there was a little bit of how does that work? But you know, this is a girl, but actually everyone has always been incredibly supportive. Leo's nan on my husband's side is in her 80s, and she was just like totally cool with it, which I think we were all a bit surprised by.
Oh, how lovely.
So we've been really lucky. As Leo says, I think, you know, we recognise that's not the case for loads of people in his situation, loads of families in our situation. So, touch wood, it all went pretty well.
Oh, amazing. And Leo, can I ask you a little bit about the treatment process? I know you said you started with testosterone treatment at the age of 16. Where have you gone from there and where are you still wanting to go, if that's okay?
Yeah, I think typically it's not something people like to like generally speak about, but yeah. So
please don't feel you have to then.
No, it's okay. But just to say that I had just to highlight the importance of it for me, but I had started testosterone treatment at 16, and that's hormone treatment is something that, as long as you want to, trans people are on for the rest of their lives. And at the age of 18 I had what's referred to as top surgery, so essentially double mastectomy procedure, and that as it does for most trans people that have it, you know, like I said, totally changed my life. The immense relief it gave me and how much more comfortable I'm able to be in myself, feel in clothes, is a massive thing. And yeah, I was very lucky to be able to access that.
Mm. Oh, amazing. So are you really happy where you are now then with this, or do you still feel like there's a way to go with your future transition?
No. I'm happy where I am. And I think that also, like I said, the more trans people are able to access what they need, that, you know, the better you're able to feel, the better your lives are. So, and it's very much something that I'm just, like I said, I'm a totally, totally different person than I think I would have been. And that also highlights why mental health is such a big problem for young trans people, not being able to access the things that you can feel so desperately like you need. You know, we know it leads to depressingly high self-harm and suicide rates, and you can totally imagine why that is.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And with regards to the transition and the different surgery options available, do different trans people want to go on a different journey, as it were? I mean, are there some, without going into details about your own personal situation then, are there some people that want to have every single surgery possible to completely change their body as much as scientifically possible, I guess, to become a man, having been born a woman, and some that are just happy to do be partially trans, if you like? I mean, how does that work?
Well, I think that sort of the key thing is that no matter to what extent someone physically transitions, it doesn't mean they're any less valid or any less trans.
Sure.
Because the sort of the transness is that this is the way I feel, and it's the most key component is I don't identify as the sex I was born in, right? That's what makes them trans. But hit the nail on the head. Not everyone feels the same. No, everyone's totally different. Not every gay person lives their life the same, and that's the same with trans people. And how they feel about their bodies and what they want to change, it does vary between person to person. You're right.
And how do you feel when people, particularly Trump, obviously, who said it very recently, comes out with blanket statements like, listen, everyone is just man or woman, that's it? How does that make you feel?
I think what's so ironic about figures like Trump and their as they seem to be so wise to some people with their opinions, is that Trump would never look at me and think I was anything but a man. And I think the hilarious thing in so many contexts is that people feel like, without ever, like I said, informing their opinion from trans people or eligible sources, feel like they kind of know it all. And I think when Trump or someone might say there's only two genders, a trans person existence doesn't necessarily defy that. You know, I was born as one sex, transitioned to live as male. That's not some sort of third gender, and most people don't feel of it that way. But I think that people think they can also physically tell. They think you can like spot them, like they've got some kind of radar. And I think these are all big misconceptions that come from people being informed from very ignorant sources. And I think it's a massive shame. And it's a shame that huge political leaders like Trump are able to not only make stupid comments, but affect the lives and the quality of lives of trans people.
Definitely. And Gemma, just to say, as a mother, I guess it must have made a huge difference to you in a positive way to see Leo so happy in his own skin now.
Absolutely. Yeah, 100%. You know, we talked to somebody else about this recently, and despite how dreadful it was at times and how tearful it was and how difficult it was, you know, I know we would both go through it all again for him to be the person he is now and as happy as he is now and as fulfilled as he is now. So yeah.
Yeah, lovely. Well, thank you both so much for joining us. I think it's brilliant that you've put this book together, and I hope Trump reads it and many other people either who have personal experience with this and would love to obviously relate to you and your story with the book, or people that have no experience in this subject at all and just want to be more educated on it. I think it's a great thing.
Thank you very much, Anna.
So if our listeners want to get a copy of the book, it's called Between, a memoir on gender transition by a mother and her trans son. It's available on our website, tre.radio, and it's by Gemma Telford and her son, Leo. Thank you both so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Anna.
Thank you for having us.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com. That's AbilityChiro.com.